Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt this morning. And I am a hypochondriac, so I look very forward to talking to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And this segment is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. How are you, Dr. Kevin Most?
Wendy, I am great. How are you feeling?
You know what? I'm feeling great, but I, as Dave Ennett will attest, I have a frog in my throat as of the last 15 minutes. It's the best meal I've had all week. But how do I get rid of it? It just happened. So I apologize for my scruffiness. I do not have COVID, and thankfully, the COVID emergency authorization will be ending soon. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it ends on Thursday, and you said, you know, helpful or, you know, positive. And everybody has to understand that when this ends, a lot of the things that we've had as benefits through the emergency authorization go away. So everybody should be aware of that. So I'm telling everybody, if you're due for a booster, get it now, because after the stockpile is gone, you'll be paying for that. Stock up on some tests, because they're free still. When I say free, I mean we paid for them as taxpayers, yeah. So they're, you know, they're a benefit for you. But certainly, you can still get them for free. They'll mail them to you for free, and it's not a bad idea to have some of those in the house, because when that stockpile is gone again, with the emergency authorization being gone, the cost will now be shifted back to the individual.
I did try to get some at a pharmacy, and for some reason my insurance didn't cover it that way. But I contacted my insurance company. They sent me 8 tests, and the expiration dates were all passed. So I called them, and you can Google it, and there's a website where you can punch in the lot number, and they've extended it, I believe, for 6 months. So that's information to have, Google extension of expiration dates, because mine are good till September now.
Yeah, and actually when we look at these are brand new tests, right? We've only been doing them for, what, a year and a half, 2 years now, where we've been using the public to do them. So they haven't even really tested them long enough to see how long they will last. So they had to put an expiration date on, and they did. That being said, what I'm telling people, as long as you're storing them properly, the expiration is probably much longer, probably a year, 2 years. Oh. Now, certainly they're going to be, you know, conservative and say this, but it really appears that these tests are going to be available or will work fine as long as you haven't frozen the reagents or put them in the sun for too long. They're fairly stable.
Okay, and I have gotten every one of the shots. I started with the J&J. That's just what they offered when we first got our COVID vaccines. And then I got the Pfizer. And then for my booster, I got Moderna. So I have all three. Now, do I need another, like a second booster? Is that something that's being recommended?
Well, the second booster, and you know, if we talked about this probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, maybe even longer than that, the UK and Canada said, you know what, let's give a second booster to anybody over the age of 60. The U.S. was kind of hesitant to do that, and I really don't know why, because we had plenty of vaccine at that time. But just last week or the week before, we approved a second booster for individuals over the age of 60 and anyone who's immunocompromised. And defining immunocompromised is if you have heart disease, if you have kidney disease, if you're obese. So certainly individuals should take advantage of that second booster, because the vast majority of people got that first booster in the fall. And we know those antibodies have waned after about 6 months.
Okay, we got a text. Who do we contact for free tests? The best one would be contact your insurance company, and they'll advise you from there, correct?
Well, you can go to covidtest.gov.
Okay.
And that's simple. Covidtest.gov. You type in your address, and they send them to you.
Although I already got mine from them, so they only give you 8.
Yeah, they should, and I don't know when the last time you got them, but you should be back open for additional testing.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And then someone else has texted, and thankfully they did, 773, Wendy, please ask Dr. Most if he's heard anything about a connection between COVID infection and a rise in cholesterol levels, because I've been reading about that. Listener, thank you for sharing that. Do you have any information on that?
I don't. You know, it hasn't been one of the side effects that really has come up much. And I mean, I don't know how they would equate those two.
Yeah. But I read it somewhere, but that's very interesting. All right. So anything we need to know more about the COVID emergency authorization ending before we take a break, or have we covered pretty much everything on that?
We've covered pretty much. You know, the Paxlovid, that medication, people are going to get a little sticker shock if they end up getting COVID, you know, after that is depleted, because that's probably going to be north of $500 for a course, which has now been free. So certainly some of these things, we just have to realize how fortunate we were that the government jumped on this and provided this to slow the, you know, the infection and to slow the spread. So I think we covered all the others. You know, if you know about the booster and you know about the test, those are probably the two most important.
Perfect. All right. We're going to take a quick break. It's Wendy Snyder. I'm sitting in for Bob Surratt today, and he will return tomorrow. We are talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And Dr. Most, we've had a couple of texts. Thank you so much for giving the address, covidtest.gov or covidtestsplural.gov. They will both take you there to get your free tests. A couple people have just ordered them. And somebody wants to know, I've had the two original shots and two boosters, and I guess that's what I had when I had all three different ones. Do we need a third booster for COVID?
Well, you probably only have gotten one of the actual boosters. We have to remember that when we first gave the vaccine, it was based on that original COVID virus, right? And then we had the BA4, BA5 variant come out, and we made a booster vaccine for that in the fall. We'd only approved one. Now, when you say I got a booster, you actually got your second shot in the original series when they noticed that J&J needed a second shot. So really, the only people who should have had boosters, where it's now specific for the strain we're seeing, not based on the original strain, would be those individuals who got it in the fall, and there was, it's only been approved for one until just recently.
Okay. And yes, we definitely, it is very confusing. So of course we had COVID going around, and then there was an uptick in RSV. What exactly is RSV, and is there a vaccine?
Yeah, Wendy, respiratory syncytial virus. This is a virus that's been around, it was first identified in the 1950s. So it's very interesting. It's a virus that many, many kids get. As a matter of fact, it's about 95% of kids under the age of, by the time they hit two, will have it. But for 70 years, we haven't had a vaccine. But yet, if you remember, early December, January, the pediatric wards were filled, and they were filled with kids with RSV because we hadn't seen that because of the way we protected children for the past couple of years. So up till just recently, there was no vaccine at all. But now, it's kind of like a wave of what's going to happen with RSV. Last week, a vaccine was approved for those over the age of 60, the other age that we're concerned about. Right now, there's a phase 3 trial for women who are pregnant. And it's like, well, why would you do that? Because the antibodies from the woman go to the baby. The baby, when they're first born, can't make antibodies. Their immune system isn't mature enough. So they rely on the mother, the maternal antibodies that are given to them at the time of birth. So very important that here we'll be vaccinating the mother to actually protect the child. And then there's a pediatric vaccine that's in phase 3 studies right now. So we have three vaccines after 70 years that are all going to hit the point right now, which will really make an impact. And I'll tell you, any parent who's had a child with RSV and they're watching this little tiny little kid breathe as fast as they can, really can be very traumatic.
That is so sad to see. And, you know, I feel pretty important that I've had two boys, and any pregnant moms out there, because we are a vessel for that kid's health. And I remember wondering if I should have gotten a flu shot when I was pregnant. And my OBGYN said, yes, definitely. And that's why, because we kind of help protect the child that's developing as well. That's fascinating.
It really is. And between the antibodies given at the time of birth is one thing, and then really the protection that breast milk gives as well. And like you said, mothers are protective of their children throughout their entire lives. Well, they can tell you they are extremely protective in those first 6 months of life. And just by delivering the baby as well as breastfeeding really makes a huge impact on their immune system.
I'm patting myself on the back. I did a good job. I'm not doing a good job anymore, but I did at the beginning. All right. And finally, Alzheimer's disease has affected so many families, so many people we love. And there's a new drug that's showing some promising results. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Eli Lilly just reported these results last week, and this is extremely promising. This is a new drug, and when we look at Alzheimer's, we still don't know what causes it. We still aren't even sure of, you know, how to treat it, essentially. But this drug, we know that amyloid plaque builds up in the brain, and for those reasons, the brain does not work as effectively when we have cognitive decline with people with dementia. This drug takes away that amyloid, removes it from the brain. And we weren't sure if that was going to do anything, but certainly it showed, this drug showed a 35% slower decline in cognitive and a 40% decline in the ability to perform daily functions. So important to see something that not only stops it in its tracks, but also slows the illness, you know, amazingly. And it works so well that half of the people on the study stopped taking the drug after a year.
Wow.
So this is extremely promising. It was probably even more promising as we see that removing amyloid appears to help. There are many drugs right now in the pipeline that are looking at how do we remove amyloid and how do we stop the progression of amyloid. So we might be going down the right track now after many years of frustration.
And this is just in the trial phase at this point, correct?
Correct. They just finished the trial, so now they're going to go for emergency authorization to the FDA. If the side effect profile was pretty good, and I think it was, there was a couple of bad outcomes, but for the most part, it really did well. You might be able to see this drug being able to be used in the fall.
Perfect.
Which would be really amazing.
That is incredible. Great news. Some great news coming from Dr. Kevin Most this morning, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. Always a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great day.
Wendy, take care. We'll talk soon.